The woman said unto him, verse 12, art thou greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself and his sons and his cattle? Are you greater than Jacob? And then Jesus answers and said to her, whoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And the woman said unto him, sir, give me this water. Sir, give me this water.
Greetings, radio friends. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, and we would like to welcome you to the Anchored in Jesus radio program. God has blessed us to be on the air these many years, and we just like to thank you for joining us today as we listen to the first half of Jesus and the Woman at the Well.
Amen. As I said, we are getting back to the Gospel of John, and today, we're going to look at this idea of the living water. We did a message on Wednesday on En-Gedi, and in En-Gedi we talked about an oasis in the desert. And so we talked about on Wednesday the living water, but today I want to look at it in the perspective of John chapter 4. And we see Jesus in his interaction with this woman at the well. Now, when we look at this interaction with the woman at the well, we see four things, and these are in your notes for us to follow along. The first thing that we see is that Jesus said that he needed to go through Samaria. Jesus said that he needed to go through Samaria. Let's look at chapter 4 and verse 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. So we see that Jesus was accused of baptizing more disciples than John, even though Jesus didn't baptize anybody. It was his disciples that baptized. Now, if you go to that next slide, what did Jesus say? Jesus said that he needed to go through Samaria. So let me tell you about the Samaritans, that when the Jewish people were taken into captivity back in 586 B.C., there was a group of Jewish people that was left in the land, and they began to interact with the Gentiles, and they got married, and they had children, and so these individuals were the Samaritans. The Samaritans were crossbreeds between Jews and Gentiles, and so they tried to keep the law in their own way, not necessarily in the way that Moses gave it. And so there was a lot of tension between the Jews and the Samaritans. So much so that if you could see where it says Sychar, that basically is the area of Samaria. Now, the Jews hated the Samaritans so much that they wouldn't even go through their land. Now, notice, many of us had the opportunity to go to Israel, and we know that the Jordan River flows from northern Israel into southern Israel. And what Jewish people, if they were in Jerusalem, what they would do is they would cross over the Jordan if they were going up north. They would cross over the Jordan and then go north around the Sea of Galilee. Or if they were up in the northern part of Israel, around the Sea of Galilee, they would come down, they would cross over the Jordan, and then come down and then cross back over. That's how much they hated the Samaritans. And another thing that they hated about the Samaritans was the fact that they had the law, but they didn't keep it the same way that the Israelites kept it. You know, they kept it in a different way. And so there was this tension. And so Jesus says, he blows everybody's mind, because instead of taking the traditional route, you know, to go across the Jordan and to go up north, what does Jesus say? He says, I must needs go through Samaria. I must needs go through Samaria. So if you'll go back to the previous slide, it says he has an encounter with this woman at the well. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of the ground Jacob gave to his son Joseph. So Jacob bought a plot of land, and he gave it to his son Joseph. Now, one of the things that they had to do whenever they built land is that they needed water. And so many times, in order to get the water, what they would do was build a well. Now, this is going to become very significant in our message today. So Jacob actually built a well on the plot of ground that he gave to Joseph. Verse 6, now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat by the well, and it was about the sixth hour. So the Jewish time, they reckoned from 6 a.m. in the morning, that was the beginning of the day, so this would have been about noontime. So Jesus is passing through Samaria, and about noontime, he sits at this well, and a woman came. In verse 7, then cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink, because his disciples, they were gone into the city to buy food. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it? Now here's where the tension comes in, right? Right? Notice, here's the tension. It says, she says, how is it that thou, being a Jew, asketh drink of me, who am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. So this lady is here, and first of all, there's two issues here. Number one, that Jesus would ask the Samaritan and then a woman. So, you know, she's there, and she said, you know, it's kind of strange that you would ask a drink of me, who is a Samaritan and a woman, you know, given the fact that we have no dealings with each other. Now, I think it's in the NIV where there's a note, but some translations render it this way, that place where it says that the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. You know what it says in some places? That the Jewish people will not drink from the vessels of a Samaritan. That's how hated that they were. And so you can see, here's another thing that absolutely blows this lady's mind, is that you want to drink from a vessel that I have? You're asking to give for me to give you a drink from a vessel that I have? And so, you know, the powerful thing about Jesus is that Jesus just he just crossed all barriers, right? I mean, you know, Jesus didn't come and put himself in a box. He didn't come and put himself in a religious box and just operated in that. Look at this. I mean, he was God that came from heaven, and now he's stepping outside the box. First of all, a Samaritan, a woman, and then to drink from a vessel that she has. And then, you know, the conversation continues. And Jesus said in verse 10, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to you. I mean, in other words, Jesus saying, do you know who I am? Do you know who I am? If you knew the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked him and he would have given thee living water. And so, you know, as I was studying this passage, you know, I was, you know, what the next verse, I was really wondering if the woman was you know, being kind of forthright, or if she was getting sarcastic, or if she was getting smart with Jesus. You know, because look what she says. You know, now again, I'm not sure, but in my sanctified imagination, right, I kind of see her getting smart. And because look, the woman said unto him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with." So the woman is saying, "How are you going to tell me about water? You don't even have anything to draw with. The well is deep." And according to some commentators, these wells were over 300 feet deep. All right. So she said, look, you know, you're telling me about water that you got, and you don't even have a vessel to get the water with. The woman said to him in verse 11, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From where then hast thou that living water?" Where are you getting this living water from that you're telling me about? The woman said unto him, verse 12, "Art thou greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself and his sons and his cattle? Are you greater than Jacob?" And then Jesus answers and said to her, "Whoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." And the woman said unto him, "Sir, give me this water. Sir, give me this water." As we think about the water that Jesus was offering this lady, there are three things that we want to bring out about this water. First of all, it was a gift. That there was nothing that she could do to earn this water. It was a gift that Jesus was offering her. In verse 10, the second thing, this water brings life. It gives life to that dead soul. It gives life to that thirsty soul. And the third thing, it is everlasting. That these three things were characteristic about this water. And this lady said, "Lord, sir, give me this water." This lady may have been like many of us. She had a life where she was struggling. Jesus foretold what was going on in her life. He said that you have five husbands, and the man that you live with now is not your husband. And so just think about how this lady was struggling with life. And maybe you're here today, and you are struggling with life. Man, you remember the song by that introduced the Jeffersons television show. And there was a part in there said, "Keeping your head above water." And maybe you're here today, and you're doing all that you can to just keep your head above water. I mean, you're dealing with, as this lady, relationship issues. She was dealing with relationship issues. Maybe you're dealing with relationship. Maybe you're dealing with addiction. Maybe you're dealing with finances. Maybe you're dealing with health. And you're just struggling to keep your head above water. And it's beginning to wear on you. It's beginning to drain and grind at your soul. Would you say this morning, "Sir, sir, give me that water. Give me that water that I may drink. Give me that water that's a gift. Give me that water that brings life. And give me that water that brings everlasting life. I need it this morning. I'm struggling in life, and I need that water." You see, the problem is that, if you go to that next slide, is that we read in Jeremiah 2:13, God says, "My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water." And the problem is that many are struggling And instead of turning to the living water, they're hewing out cisterns for themselves. They are trying to make cisterns to hold water that is can't even compare to the living water. What is a cistern? As you look at a cistern is a large pit dug by hand into the rocks. And you know, Sister Lydia and I had the opportunity to go to Africa many years ago. And I remember when we were in Africa, one of the things that we saw is they had these big barrels next to the house. And what they would do is they would catch the rainwater that came off of the barrel and I mean off of the roof and into the barrel. And that's what they used to wash, to cook, you know, to clean, was this water that they caught in this big barrel. Well, the Jewish people back in Jesus' day, they were even a little more sophisticated. And what they did was they dug wells in the ground. And they would line these wells with stones. And then they would put plaster on the stones to hold them in place. And so people would drink their water. They would get their water that ran off of the housetop. And even sometimes the water would run off of the streets. And it would run into these wells. And so these people had these cisterns that they would get their water from. And God is saying, do you want the living waters that flow fresh from the streams, that flow fresh from the mountains, or do you want water that's in a cistern? If you go to that next slide. And what had happened is God's people had turned from him to worship idols. They turned from the fresh, clean, reliable streams to the salty waters found in cisterns. And so my question to us this morning is, where are you in your hour of need, in your hour of being in the wilderness, where are you turning to get your water from? Jesus said that he gives us living water. And what was the three things that were characteristic about this living water? It was a gift, it brings life, and it brings eternal life. Have you drank from that living stream this morning? See, when you taste the waters of God, and you see how refreshing they are, and you see how they refresh your life. There was a lady whose boyfriend, husband, whatever the case might be, had gone away, and she was trying to let him know how much she needed him. And she said this, "I see your picture hanging on the wall, but it can't sing or come to me when I call your name. I realize it's just a picture in a frame." And then she went on to say, "Ain't nothing like the real thing. Ain't nothing like the real thing." And just think, as you go through life and you have this choice, of the living waters where you can draw from a relationship with God that will help you through each and every situation of your life, or you can go to this man-made system that you have, that you're drinking from, a system of self, a system of human efforts, a man-made cistern. I don't know about you, but I'm like the lady at the well. "Sir, give me this water. Give me this living water that you have to offer." And as we see this living water, let me share with you three things about this living water. If you go to that next slide, look at Jeremiah. Jesus said what? That he came to give us living water. Jeremiah 2:13 in the English Standard Revised Version. my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water. The living waters. We talked about it on Wednesday, the waters of En-Gedi. That in the middle of the desert, that there's a waterfall that comes out of the rocks, and there's nothing but barrenness and dryness all around, and in the middle of it, there's this waterfall called En-Gedi. And I challenged the people on Wednesday that you need to have your own personal En-Gedi. That En-Gedi is a place of refreshing. En-Gedi is a place of restoration. En-Gedi is a place where you can be restored. En-Gedi is a place where you get in the presence of God and you drink from the living waters. Or you can get up in your man-made day and try to go through that day doing the things in the energy and the arm of the flesh. Sir, give me that water. Give me that water. Next slide. Give me that water. You can either have living waters sent by God, or you can have polluted waters made by human efforts. Now let me say something quickly about the cisterns, right? I didn't say the sisters. I said the cisterns, all right? Is that in the cisterns, they would let the water, again, some of these cisterns were like 300 feet deep, right? And so all the rainwater and the runoff water and maybe even some underground water would be in there. But one of the things that would happen is that they would put a top on it to make sure they could keep out as much a tarp or a plastic covering to keep out as much leaves and other defilement that might get into the well. But the fact is that all this stuff got into it. And so cisterns were actually polluted waters. We can either have the living waters that are sent by God. And how do we get the living waters? It's brokenness. It's being broken to self. Or you can go through human efforts. You can try to do this thing on your own. You can build a cistern to collect water and drink that cistern water. Or you can have the waters of En-Gedi that flow clean and fresh from the mountains in a relationship with God. How do you get this? You get it by brokenness. And in your brokenness, that when you are broken to self, when you keep trying to live by human efforts and you keep trying to live by fleshly efforts, you are actually fighting against the fresh waters that God would provide. But one of the things that I found out on more than one occasion, and oh, I wish to God that I could have this experience continually, is that the more broken that I am, the more the waters of the Lord run over my soul. Because when I'm operating in the flesh, I actually have a block up, and I'm blocking the living waters of God, and I'm saying, no, let me do it in my own strength. Let me do it in my own efforts. And then we see that this living waters comes out of a relationship with God. You know, I noticed that the men sang this morning about finding religion. And you know,
thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Jesus and the Woman at the Well. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Jesus and the Woman at the Well, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Jesus and the Woman at the Well. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Jesus and the Woman at the Well, or you can call us at 877-831-5060. Visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, and you can view or download more than 400 teachings that we have listed there. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It is through your faithful prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews 6:19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and anchor for the soul. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, and on behalf of our volunteer staff, we would like to remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored.